Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Now, when I announce Luke 2, of course, it ought to remind you very quickly that that is the location of the heart of the Christmas story, but we're going to go later in the chapter. As I said earlier, Jesus did not remain a baby. We know that. We know that he grew up and he lived a perfect life, but toward the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we see one of the only stories, one of two stories about Jesus between his birth and then the announcement of his public ministry when he was about 30 years of age. And I want to talk to you this morning about that event that happened when Jesus was 12 years old and Mary and Joseph had to return to Jerusalem in order to find him. And so the title of our message this morning is simply Finding Jesus. Now let me say from the very beginning, before we read the text together, that in a very true sense, none of us in this room today have found God, but God has found us. That's what Christmas is really all about. You know that? God saw us even before we existed and before the world was created. God saw that we would have a need of Jesus, and in the heart and mind of God in heaven, before he spoke the universes into existence, God had purposed that he was going to give the Lord Jesus Christ to do for us what we most needed. And so God is a missional God. He is a father who is on mission to find, to claim, and to redeem his children. But there are times, I believe, in all of our lives when we find ourselves removed in fellowship from the Lord Jesus. And that's what this message is all about today. And I want to tell you, if you're here today and you've gone through the Christmas season and you feel like you're far removed from the Lord Jesus Christ, I have good news. You're in the right place today. You can find him right here in this place. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Let's read down through verse 52. The word of the Lord says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Lord, thank you for your word again. Thank you that, Father, it has been perfectly preserved for us down through all these ages of time. And that, Father, this morning we could assemble in 2024, almost 2025, and read about a story that happened nearly 2,000 years ago. Father, thank you that Jesus was changing lives then, and thank you that he changes lives today. And God, it is my prayer that if there's any person that's in this room right now, watching, listening on the internet or radio, Father, that needs to find him, I pray that today, this very day, they would come to find the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask it in his name, and amen. Would somebody please tell me what's more frustrating in life than really needing something like car keys and not being able to find them? When's the last time you misplaced something? And when was the last time when you misplaced something and you were searching diligently that you asked the people around you to help you a little bit, and they just looked you right back in the eye and they asked you that horrible question, well, where was the last place you had them? You know what I always want to say, and I probably have said it, well, if I knew where I had them last, I wouldn't be asking you to help me right now. Because wherever you had them last is where you left them, unless some other hands got a hold of them and put them somewhere else. Well, here's what I want you to know this morning. In the Dodson household, after this Christmas, it has been solved. I don't know if you can see what I'm holding up here in my hand, but one of the greatest Christmas presents you can possibly give someone whom you love is this little thing called an AirTag. Do any of you have an AirTag? All right, I see some hands flying up in the back. Listen, if you're an Apple product user and if you use the other products, there's forgiveness for that, but I'm sure that they have some type of tag you can get as well. But if you're an Apple product user, listen, you can get an AirTag, and wherever you put whatever is tagged, from that point forward, if the technology works, of course, you know what they say, technology works and until it doesn't, but trusting the technology, you should be able to find it. It's an amazing thing. Every set of keys that we can find in the Dodson household now has an AirTag, and we just played with it a little bit, but you can get on your phone, it'll show you where it's at, and when you get close to it, you can hit play a sound, and it'll start beeping. Isn't that amazing? So you can find whatever is missing if you just get yourself an AirTag. I wonder if anybody from Apple will watch my message this morning and reward me for the commercial there. But you can get AirTags, and you can use these AirTags to find whatever is missing, and you won't have somebody say to you, where was the last place you had it? Well, in the story that we've read together this morning, you see spiritually something that's more important than just finding your keys or finding your wallet or finding a book that you've misplaced. Isn't it much more important when we feel like we're missing him that we can find Jesus? Well, Mary and Joseph here in the story, they find Jesus. And when we read this story, we see just how spiritually minded the earthly mother and father of our Savior really were. Now, we've spent a few weeks leading up to Christmas looking at both Joseph and Mary, and then we looked at the Christ child, Jesus himself. And when we took those views of Joseph and Mary, I shared with you that they had to be choice people, right? I mean, if you're here today and you have a child and you're filling out some information that will go into your will, who are the people that you're going to entrust your children to if that day ever comes? They're going to be people that you love, people that you know have your values, that are going to impart those to your children if that day were to ever come. What do you think was on the mind of God when he began to search and look for those right people whom he would entrust with the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about it, he found Joseph and Mary. I've told you before that really they were ordinary people, but they were very spiritually minded, and we see it show up in this story because notice that the text tells us in the very first verse that we read that they went to Jerusalem when? Every year during the feast of the Passover. Now, if you've ever studied the Levitical law in the Old Testament, you might realize that everybody, every good Jewish person that was right with God, to be right with God, they were to go to Jerusalem to the feast of the Passover. Now, just a quick reminder, what is the feast of the Passover? The feast of the Passover is that time when all the Jewish people come together and they commemorate what God did for them when he brought them out of Egypt. You remember the story, don't have time to go into the details of it, but God had told them to slaughter a lamb and take the blood from that lamb, place it upon the doorposts and over the door, and that night in Egypt when the death angel would pass through, when he saw the blood over the door, he would pass over. Therefore, when they come together and they celebrate that, they're remembering the mighty act of God. When God overlooked their sinfulness and their unworthiness and protected them from the destroyer and ultimately bring them out of Egypt. And so it was prescribed for them that once a year they would come together for the feast of the Passover and celebrate the greatness of God. But do you imagine that everybody in Israel, that all the Jews were 100% obedient to the word of God? If you believe that this morning, I've got some news for you. It's kind of like this. Every member of Bible Baptist Church shows up every Sunday morning when we come together and worship, right? No, that doesn't happen. But I want you to see this about Joseph and Mary. Luke here, when he records this, he shares the detail that Joseph and Mary were spiritually minded and that each and every year when it was time for them to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Passover, they would gather Jesus first and then the other children that would come along after Jesus, and there they would go in a caravan of others from up in Galilee, in Nazareth, and make their way 75 miles all the way down to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. So they'd travel from Nazareth over into the Jezreel Valley and out to the western part of the valley of the Jordan River, and for about 4 days they would hoof it all the way from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. As I mentioned, they would travel together in big groups and caravans. Usually, the women and the children on both ends of the trip, whether they were going to Jerusalem or returning back, the women and the children would leave out first because they would walk a little more slowly than the men. The men would lag behind a little bit, and then ultimately they would come and they would meet up. And so the women and children leave out, and the men would come behind. And at 12 years of age, that's how old Jesus is here in the story, Jesus could have been with either group. He wasn't quite a man yet, but he wasn't a real child. So he could have been with the women or he could have been with the men. And so this is what's going on in the heart and the mind of Joseph and Mary when they've celebrated the Passover and they're on their way back up to Nazareth. Joseph says, well, I don't see Jesus with us, but that's okay. He's probably with his mother and that group of ladies and other boys. And then Mary looks around. She doesn't see Jesus, and she said, well, that's okay. He's probably with Joseph and the group of men. The bottom line is they had gone on and traveled in that caravan of people, and they had got a day's journey out of Jerusalem, and Mary and Joseph finally come together. One looks at the other and said, "Hey, I thought Jesus was with you." But Jesus was missing. Jesus was missing. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. Can you imagine the terror that would have stricken the hearts of Mary and Joseph? I mean, here God had entrusted them to take care of his only begotten son, and they've taken him to Jerusalem, and now he's lost. They had to go back, and they had to look for Jesus. Let me say to you again what I said a moment ago. Some of you are probably sitting right here in this room today, and you are feeling awfully empty. You're here today, and you're saying to yourself, you know, we've just come through Christmas, this time when we celebrate Jesus, and we thank God for the great gift that he's given in Jesus, but if I'm honest with myself, the truth of the matter is, I don't sense him. I don't feel him the way I should. Well, what I want you to notice with me that in the story, even though Mary and Joseph's pursuit was physical and ours is spiritual, it begins with that realization. So notice that in the story, for them to find Jesus, it started with a realization. The Bible tells us again in verses 44 and 45, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among the relatives and the acquaintances, and they did not find him. Now let me boil this down to the physical heart of the matter. The problem that Joseph and Mary had on their hands was not a relationship problem. I want you to notice that with me. Was Jesus, of course, God's son, but on assignment to them, was Jesus still their son? 100%. Jesus was their son. So it's not a relationship problem. What they have here in the story is a fellowship problem. Relationally, Jesus is who he was supposed to be, but he was not in their company. They were out of fellowship. Now, I want you to apply this to your life spiritually today. Let me say what you want to hear me say, and it's not because you want to hear me say it, but I say it because it's biblical truth. If you've ever been rightly related to God through Jesus Christ, you will always be rightly related to God. In other words, as we like to say at Baptists, once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, I'm talking about true salvation. I'm not talking about, you know, just having been baptized or having joined a church, but I'm talking about truly giving over the lordship of your life to Almighty God through Jesus Christ, trusting his blood to forgive you of your sins. The truth of the matter is, according to Scripture, once you've done that, you never ever have to do that again, because he who is able to save you from the first place is the one who is able to keep you saved. This is what Jesus said. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Boy, aren't we thankful for that? You see, when we come to Christ and he saves our soul, Jesus, he says, puts his hand on us. Listen, I'm thankful this morning that my soul is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus has said, I've given to Alan eternal life. And if God has his hand on you, Jesus has your soul in his hands, he's given you the same thing, eternal life. I don't have time to get into that deeply, but let me just say this. If you were saved one day and 10 years down the road you lost that salvation, you never had eternal life. You had 10-year life. But Jesus said, I give them eternal life. So here's my big point. If you're truly saved today and you feel as if Jesus is missing, it's not a relationship issue. It's a fellowship issue. If you're here and you've gone through this Christmas season and you don't feel that nearness to Christ, it's not a relationship issue. It's a fellowship issue. Let me remind you of what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. You know, early in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, Jesus, through John, sends letters to the early churches in Asia Minor. And when Jesus addressed the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, he said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, Jesus did not say to the church at Ephesus, you've lost your first love. Jesus simply said, you've left your first love. In other words, here's the illustration. Just like Mary and Joseph had left Jesus in Jerusalem, the church at Ephesus, even though relationally they belonged to Christ, here's the thing. They were backslidden. I want to say something to you this morning, and if you don't hear another word I say today, I want you to hear this very clearly. Listen to me. If there's ever been a time in your life that you were closer to Jesus than you are right now, that means right now you're backslidden. If there's been a time when you felt the nearness and the closeness of Jesus more than you feel it right now, you're backslidden. If there's been a time in your life when you served him more fervently than you serve him right now, then you are backslidden. We don't talk about that a lot in the church today, but I'm here to tell you one of the most miserable people on planet Earth is the child of God, the Christian who has walked away from a closeness in fellowship with Jesus. So this morning, I want you to know this. You can go back to your closeness in fellowship. You've not lost it. The big point I'm trying to make is he has made a promise to keep you, and there's nothing that anybody can take you out of that grip. But maybe like Mary and Joseph, who traveled a day's journey, by that point they had gotten far away from Jesus. Finally, the realization comes into their hearts and it drops on them like a bomb. We've left Jesus behind. He's not with us. There's a fellowship problem. Do you have that realization today? I want you to know in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. You can come. There are people this morning that ought to repent. You're here today and you have let your Bible reading lapse behind. You've let your prayer time lapse behind. Frankly, your church attendance is not what it ought to be. And today you realize that you have a fellowship problem. Well, I want to tell you the good news is you can find it today. And you can come back to Jesus, because the next thing I want you to notice from the story is not only is there a realization, but there's a return. Do you see here that Mary and Joseph, they realize that they've left Jesus in Jerusalem? What if that was all they did? What if they had just said to one another, well, you know, it's hard enough being his parent anyway. Let's just get on back to Nazareth and somebody in Jerusalem will take care of Jesus. That wasn't God's plan for them, right? And so to do something about it, they returned. Notice that the Bible tells us in verse 45, so when they did not find him, look at the word, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. They returned and they sought. I want you to personalize those two verbs. If you're feeling far removed from Christ and there's a fellowship issue today, you need to return and you need to seek. Notice that Mary and Joseph went back to Jerusalem. They returned to Jerusalem for a purpose, and the purpose was what? To seek him. They returned and they sought. I want you to understand that the Bible really is replete with directives about us seeking God. Now, I want to repeat myself. I said it early when I first came up this morning. God first seeks us. And if God did not seek out lost, fallen humanity, nobody in this room would be saved today. God takes the initiative. But the Bible also tells us that we are free moral agents. In other words, God has given us choice. And sometimes we choose to do things that remove us from that closeness in fellowship with the Lord. And when we do those things and the conviction falls on our hearts, what do we need to do? We need to seek him. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Of course, Jeremiah, you know, he's the weeping prophet. He's that prophet that's anguishing and crying over the people of God that are astray from God. And Jeremiah in 29:13, he writes and he says, speaking for God here, and you will, listen to this, seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You hear what God is saying there to his people Israel? If you're away from me, if you'll just seek me, if you'll just put forth the effort to search for me, God promises you will find me when you do it with all your heart. What do you do with all your heart? You pursue the things that you love best. I'll be the first one to admit it. When I cheer on the Cats or the Detroit Lions or any of my teams, you know what I do? I do it with all my heart because it means something to me. But God help me when I pursue the trivial of life with all my heart and I don't pursue him with all my heart. God says, in your fellowship, if you feel like you're away from me and you seek me, you'll find me when you do it with all your heart. Father, your family needs you to be close to Jesus more than they need you to make money. Mother, your family needs you to be close to your Savior more than they need you to make a home. With all of your heart, Jesus can be found if you search him, search for him. Isaiah says in Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's take it into the New Testament. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know what your reward is as a Christian? You know, sometimes I think we do the Christian things maybe for the blessings that God promises. But our great reward as a child of God is His presence in our hearts and in our lives. Have you ever walked through the valley of life and a lot of things were missing, but the one thing you knew you had was His presence? Oh, His presence, His sweet fellowship is enough. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You see, in the story here, you have a realization. They knew that Jesus was away from them. They returned and they sought Him. And then let's see the happy ending. We love stories with happy endings, right? The third thing we see here is a reunion. They come back together. We won't go back and read the verses, but I want you to see that when they got back, they were gone for a day, they traveled back another day, and then they spent three more days, Scripture tells us, in Jerusalem, looking for Jesus. I wish I could just pick you up right now and put you right down in the middle of Old City Jerusalem. Even to this day, it can be a zoo there. I mean, it's a buzzing place of a lot of activity. And can you imagine years ago when they were still doing the Passover and all those thousands of people had descended on Jerusalem, what that must have been like? So they're going through the streets of Jerusalem and they're looking in every shop, they're looking in every little neighborhood for 3 days and they don't find Jesus. And finally it dawns on them, duh, this is Jesus, this is the Son of God. Maybe, just maybe, He's in His house. And so they go back to the temple. And there He is, engaging with the scholars, the teachers of the law, astonishing them as only Jesus could do. And then I love these verses here. Look at what happens in verses 48 and 49. So when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said to Him, "Son, why have you done this to us?" Can you imagine being a parent and jumping on Jesus? I didn't like to jump on my boys when they were little, but I had to do it, even though they were little angels. But can you imagine this? Here's Mary, and it just comes out of the anxiety in her heart. I'm not trying to be hard on Mary here, but she says, "Son, why have you done this to us?" As if it was His fault. "Look, your father and I have sought for you anxiously." Well, it is anxious, isn't it? Honestly, if you're a parent and you've gone to an amusement park or a fair and there's a thronging crowd of people and that little one gets away from you and you begin to look and you can't. Parents, tell me, what is more anxious than that? Those are anxiety-ridden moments. But Jesus is there and she jumps on Him and says, "Look, your father and I have sought for you anxiously." And notice what He says in verse 49. This is telling. "And He said to them, 'Why did you seek me?'" Jesus, I want you to understand this clearly. Jesus is not saying, "Why did you come back to get me?" He's saying this. Watch this closely. "You ought to have known that I'd be right here in the temple. You ought to have known that. Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" If you're missing Jesus today, don't be anxious about it. Just go back to the place where you know He is. Go back to the prayer time. Go back to the devotional habits. Make a commitment today that you're going to be more devoted to church. And you would expect a preacher, a pastor to say that. But let me just tell you this morning, I don't make an apology for that. Because if you love the Lord, you're going to love what He loves most. And the Lord loves His church. And the Lord has commanded you in His word to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Jesus tells Mary, why do you feel like this is a needle in a haystack? You ought to have known that this was where I am. I have to be about my Father's business. We all love Mark Lowry's seminal Christmas song, Mary, Did You Know? Isn't that a wonderful song? But you know, in the last few years, there's been some debate about what Mary knew and what Mary didn't know. Don't get caught up in that. That is a really, really good song. But now hear me. There are things Mary did know and things Mary didn't know. But one of the things she should have known was when they went to Jerusalem to find Him, they didn't have to go throughout the city. All they needed to do is look up on Mount Zion and see that great temple of the Lord, His house, and know that that is exactly where He would be. She searched anxiously, diligently. And so I want you to see the human side of Mary too. The most important thing in her life at that time was getting to Jesus. Now look at me. Some of you will pitch a downright fit when you can't find that $20 bill. When you can't find the keys, you can't find the phone. Maybe this morning your spirit ought to be crushed because you can't find Jesus. The fellowship is not there. The thing that should alarm us most is when the closeness of His presence is missing from our lives as Christians. Let me ask you this. Do you know Him well enough to even know today that you're missing His fellowship? Many years ago, I read a story about this reclusive man who'd gone on a pursuit of gold. And he lived in an old cabin in the Colorado mountains. He lived out there for 50-some years. And his family, his nearest relatives in the big city, had got the news that he had passed away. And so it dawned on them that they needed to go and take care of the things that he left behind. And so they left the city, drove into the mountains, went into that cabin, and they found anything that could be remotely of value. They gathered it up and they took it away as they were about to leave. His nearest neighbor came to them and said, "You don't know me, we've never met, but your loved one was a dear friend of mine. I live on the other side of the mountain. And every now and then we'd visit." He said, "I can see you've come back to take the things that belong to him, the things that you want." He said, "Do you mind if I now go through the house and begin to take maybe some things that would be important to mine and his relationship?" They said, "Absolutely, it's all yours. We found everything that we can find." They began to pull away. He walks through the little cabin and he's testing all the planks on the floor, and he finally found the loose one and he pulled it up And down there in the earth below the plank in that floor was all the gold. Looks out the window and he sees the dust and their taillights trailing as they drove down that long driveway. And he said out loud, "You should have known him better." How well do you know him today? Do you know him well enough to know that your fellowship is not what it ought to be? It could mean one of two things. Either number one, you've never really known him. And I'm not trying to cast doubt into anybody's soul today, but I just remind you of the words of Jesus, who said that at the last day, there will be people who cry out, "Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?" In other words, did we not preach in your name? Some will say, "Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Lord, did we not do this work of religious service or that work of religious service in your name?" And the Bible says that Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity." Listen, don't go through life completely missing Jesus. If you're here today and you're not confident of your salvation in Jesus, God wants you to be. God wants you to be saved today. And that is your great privilege today, to have your sins forgiven, to have your name affixed in the Lamb's Book of Life, to know that you know that you know that you're saved. Today, if you don't know him, I invite you to come and to know him. He'll change everything about you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you do know him. And you do know him well enough that you know the fellowship is not what it ought to be. Like Joseph and Mary, you have that realization. Jesus is missing. The fellowship is not what it ought to be. Let that become a return. Come back today. And let there be a reunion. You'll find him if you diligently seek him. Stand with me and bow your heads. Let me pray for you, and after I pray, musicians are coming and we'll sing together. And today, if you need to come to Christ, maybe to get to know him, or to return in your fellowship with him, oh, dear friend, come today. Don't you wait. Don't put it off. Come today. Jesus will receive you. He'll save you, or he'll restore you today. Seek him. Again, Scripture says, while he may be found. Dear Lord, thank you for your people, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this very real physical story that just has all kinds of spiritual implications for us today. God, if there's one who needs to come, someone that doesn't know him to be saved today, someone who knows him to be restored in fellowship today, God, would you move in those hearts and lives? And by your Spirit, would you draw those who need to make decisions unto yourself? I simply pray that and ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and amen.